Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. We're possessive. And guide to all things cinematic. He joins us weekly. The films are Maestro, Perfect Days, and Beyond Utopia.
First movie I'd like to talk about today is one that's been getting an awful lot of buzz, partly for a ridiculous reason, although I think it's quite a good movie and it deserves a lot of buzz. And this is Maestro, which is directed by Bradley Cooper, co-written by Bradley Cooper with Josh Singer, and starring Bradley Cooper as the main character, who is the maestro, who is Leonard Bernstein. Now, Leonard Bernstein was a phenomenal character. He really was one of the greatest of all American conductors by general consensus in the classical music world, also a writer of very serious and major classical pieces, and also a terrific writer of show tunes and musical comedy and that sort of thing, the great musical On the Town, and all kinds of other things, and things that sort of straddle borders, like Candide, his marvelous work there. So anyway, Leonard Bernstein, he's very famous. I expect that probably a lot of younger listeners might not know who he is, or at least be very familiar with him. This movie is a good way to get familiar with him. But he was a phenomenal person in the world, not only of classical music, but also of popular music in the area of show tunes and Broadway, Broadway shows and that sort of thing. So that is who the movie is about. And Bradley Cooper plays him. And this movie, I said before, some of the buzz of this movie has been for a ridiculous reason. There's actually been a controversy about the nose that Bradley Cooper wears in the film. Some people have accused this of being a sort of an anti-Semitic gesture or a cartoonish kind of a thing or something like that. Well, I will now weigh in on this mighty controversy. It's called makeup. And actors have been doing it, I think, for a very, very, very long time. And he's just trying to look a bit more than he naturally would, like Leonard Bernstein, the character who was playing. And since one of Leonard Bernstein's other accomplishments was to do an astonishing number of television appearances, he used to do what he called young people's concerts. And I've looked at dozens of these, in which he would discuss the inner workings of how classical music pieces work. And he'd choose a piece or two or three and then kind of dissect them and do this all this in terms that was accessible to the youngest people as well as to older folks who are interested in this sort of thing. So also through his television appearances, he was really, really a familiar looking character to so many Americans and people elsewhere, I suspect. And in fact, the very, very first thing that happens in the movie Maestro, he is doing a TV appearance. And the TV appearance is apparently in his own living room and he's at the piano. But we don't see the other TV cameras right at the beginning. The camera is just sort of showing Leonard Bernstein at the piano. And the camera sort of comes around from the side and comes up beside him, back behind him and then beside him and sort of closer to him. And my gosh, I thought that just looks like Leonard Bernstein. That's got to be him. And then it turns out it is not Leonard Bernstein. It is only Bradley Cooper playing Leonard Bernstein. But the nose and all the rest of the makeup really work. And then, of course, the next thing we see during that opening shot that I'm talking about is the cigarette comes up. Leonard Bernstein was smoking all the time. And the movie kind of gives us information about this, not detailed information, but he was always taking a lot of pills. And near the end of the movie, we see him snorting cocaine. So part of his extraordinary level of accomplishment was unfortunately fueled by drugs. Also, he had terrible back problems, and that also he medicated himself that way. The point is, all of this kind of makes its first little appearance at the very beginning of the movie, and then it's developed throughout the movie as a whole. And again, nose and all, Bradley Cooper really does look like Leonard Bernstein. So, about the rest of the movie. First of all, I do have to mention that his wife is played by Carey Mulligan, and she is absolutely sensational as his wife, herself a famous TV actor, Felicia Montalegre, and she's a very important figure. And they had a vexed marriage. One of the other things that shows up very, very early in this film is that Bernstein was bisexual, and he had a lot of gay affairs. And at the same time, he had a very long, long time marriage to Felicia Montalegre, and they had several children together. And he was apparently a very devoted family guy. So we see him as the husband, as the father, as the family person. We see him as the guy running around and having the occasional gay love affair. And we see him doing his work from time to time, his actual composing, his actual conducting, his actual TV appearances, all of these things. So what do I think of the movie Maestro? I think it's terrific. At the very, very beginning, there is some camera work, which is astonishing. And I thought, well, this is going to be a brilliantly directed movie. It turns out to be not so brilliantly directed all the way through. It does an interesting device to show the passage of time, except for the opening scene and the very end of the movie, which are sort of bookend it. We have the whole first part of the movie shot in black and white in a narrow screen, the old-fashioned sort of square screen shape. And then we go into color for a long, long time. And then finally, we go back to the widescreen that we're more familiar with today. And I think it works pretty well. It's just an interesting way to show how Bernstein's life and career spanned a number of decades. I do wish that the movie spent even more time on Bernstein's actual musical accomplishments, on his actual musical doings, his actual musical career. There's plenty of it, but I wish there were even more of it and a little bit less of the romantic stuff and the love affairs and the conflicts with his wife and so forth. This is interesting material, but I think that I think the balance is a little bit off. I would have liked in this biopic more of the work and the artistic accomplishment, even if that meant a little bit less of the personal life. But that said, Maestro is certainly one of the best movies of the year. I had a good time watching it. It's well over 2 hours long. It never seemed to me to drag. And again, Bradley Cooper, who's a good director, his movie Of a Star is Born was very good not long ago. And now he does a fine job of directing this movie and starring in this movie, and again, he co-wrote it. And I should also mention that Leonard Bernstein was also a movie composer on the waterfront, probably being his best known composition in that department. So it's good to have this very major film about Leonard Bernstein. It's a good picture, and I heartily recommend it. Second movie today is very, very different, Perfect Days, a movie by the German director Wim Wenders. Now, Wenders has become an international director. He goes all over the place in recent years, and not such recent years, directing his movies. But he started out in Germany back in the 1970s when there was a movement there called Das Neue Kino, the New Cinema, which introduced a whole lot of really, really major and excellent German filmmakers to the world cinema scene. He's still around and he's still making movies. He has two out this year, and Perfect Days is an unusual film because here we have a whole movie, now don't get scared by this, a whole movie about a man whose job is cleaning toilets. And in this case, we get a whole lot of that activity in the movie. This film is really about this man as he travels about Tokyo in his van, cleaning toilets. That is his work, that is his job, that is his profession, and he seems to really have a good time doing it. So what does Perfect Days actually show us? We have this man, and he gets into his van, and he works for a company, and he goes off, and he takes out his equipment, and he cleans a public toilet. And then when he gets done with that, and he does a really spiffy job, he moves on, gets back in his van, moves on and to the next place where he cleans another toilet. And much of the movie really shows that. Now, is this boring to watch? Not really. It's beautifully filmed. You get a good job of, you get a good sense of the job and the sort of the technical things involved in the job. It's sort of fun to watch in that respect. But there are obviously other things in the movie, too. For one thing, as our main character drives from one place to another, Miller, he likes to put tape cassettes into his cassette player in his van and listen to rock and roll, mostly American rock and roll. So some of it, his taste, I think, is good. House of the Rising Sun by Eric Burdon and the Animals. Some of that, my taste does not agree with him. And some of his taste, I think, is really excellent. Lou Reed, for example, he likes a lot. And it's also kind of interesting that he seems to like the old analog tape cassettes. So there is some music in this movie, mainly through the way our main character travels from one place to another, playing his little tape recorder, his tape deck in his van. Then there's also some other characters enter the film. For example, he has a co-worker, a younger man who is sort of his protege, who works with him and who is not very reliable and who is always looking for sex and trying to make dates with his girlfriends and trying to hook up with somebody. So that's a little bit amusing. I think that's actually one of the weaker aspects of the movie. He runs into a little girl who seems to be separated from her mother and he kind of helps things out there. Much later in the movie, his young niece shows up. She's run away from home. And so he lets her stay with him for a while and there's some interactions between them. And then his sister shows up and there we get a little bit of a backstory. And we begin to realize that maybe this guy didn't just early in life decide, I want to be a toilet cleaner. There was other stuff going on. And he sort of ended up being a toilet cleaner. And maybe he's not 100% happy with the way his life has turned out, but he certainly does seem to enjoy doing his job and doing it extremely well. And by the way, we see him going to bed at night. He lives in a very plain place, as we might expect. He reads. He really reads. He's a thinker. He likes literature, and he also likes the music that he listens to. So, Perfect Days, it's an interesting movie. It's a laid-back movie. It's pretty long. It goes on for a while, and you have to be ready to watch a guy mainly cleaning these toilets, but having interactions with other people, and because the main thrust of the movie, the main thread of the toilet cleaning is not exactly fascinating, all those little incidents that happen along the way become really fascinating, too. I've talked with Wim Wenders a number of times over the years, and many, many years ago he told me his ambition was to make fiction films that would have the absolute truth to life of documentaries. Well, he's also made quite a large number of documentaries, including one about Japan and Japanese film many years ago. He loves Japan. But this really fulfills that ambition maybe more than most of his films do. It is a fiction film, but it has that look of documentary. You really get a sense of just what it's like to do this kind of menial job and be good at it and enjoy it. And you also get a sense of something that struck me when I was in Tokyo. It is such a clean place, and people like him are responsible. So Perfect Days, an unusual movie, a movie not for everybody, but a movie that I had a good time watching. And now to get some real drama into this week's episode, Beyond Utopia. This is a documentary directed by Madeline Gavin. And oh my gosh, it is so dramatic. The title is Beyond Utopia because this is about people who try to defect from North Korea and somehow get to South Korea or some other part of the world. And one of the things we learn, and this is actually pretty common knowledge, but the movie emphasizes this, is that when you are raised in North Korea, your life is completely controlled in every way by the state, by the government, by the country. And one of the things that you are told and that is drilled into your head is that North Korea is utopia. It is the best place in which you could possibly be. So now this movie is about people who have figured out that that's not true. And they want to get beyond this so-called utopia into some place that will be better. This is not easy. Obviously, they can't just go into South Korea, just cross the border, because it's been totally walled off. So they have to go north into China. And there they face all kinds of dangers. And the ultimate goal is to get out of China and into Thailand, which is the best destination for them, or maybe someplace else. And to do this, they have to rely on people called brokers who are very, very predatory and dishonest and are only doing this for the money. And so you have to rely on them if you want to do this. So that is what this documentary is about. And it focuses on a small number of people who are trying to defect. One is a family. Their name is Ro, R-O. And that's how it's transliterated. And they are really, really trying to defect. They're trying to get out of there, and they get stuck. And this movie announces at the beginning there are no reconstructions. There's no stuff in here that is reenacted or faked. There's a little bit of animation here and there to fill in blanks, but there's nothing here which is trying to look real when it isn't real. And we have these people, they are heading through woods, through a rainforest, through all kinds of difficult terrain, and they have their cell phones and they are managing to record themselves and to send back messages when they can get signals. And all of this is incredibly dramatic, and it's all real, and you're watching it in real time. Then there is another defector. I'll just mention one of the others in the movie. It's really a woman whose son is trying to defect, and he can't seem to get out of the North for a long time, and she is being helped by a pastor, a very saintly guy who is a very major figure in the film, and he works with these brokers and tries to keep them honest and to get defectors out of North Korea as much as he can. And this young man, the woman's son, is stuck in North Korea, and she is desperate for news of him, and the news comes, and sometimes it's bad, and sometimes it's not so bad, and sometimes it seems okay, but then maybe it really isn't okay. I hope I'm getting across a sense of how dramatic this movie is, and I gotta say once again, it's all real. So, Beyond Utopia, this is a documentary about something very real, which is going on in the very real world, and it shows it in very real terms. It is very, very suspenseful. You don't always find out how these stories turn out. Sometimes you do, sometimes you don't. But it's just fascinating to watch, and it reminds us of some of the real horrors that are going on in our world right now. We think about the things that get the headlines, which nowadays are Ukraine and Israel, but my gosh, things are going on in Korea, North and South, which are incredibly dramatic, and this movie does a marvelous job of documenting them. Easily one of the very best documentaries of this year. And so that is my partly documentary story this week.
For which we thank you, as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Maestro, Perfect Days, and Beyond Utopia.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.